The ordinance that was up in its second reading before the city council last night called for gradual increases to water bills through 2010. According to city projections, an average homeowner would have seen a 57% increase in their typical monthly bill. A major seafood processor who uses way more water and pays a higher service charge but pays far less per gallon would have seen a 47% increase. A certain class of customers, including a handful of city facilities like the schools, would likely see the highest hike for a typical monthly bill, about 59%. But Councillor Bob Nilsson proposed a major amendment, a complete alternative to that ordinance. It called for two increases in January and July next year, totaling 40% for all users. It was the same alternative Nilsson had proposed earlier this month, and he thought it was simpler and more equitable.
All users would be paying the same rate. There wouldn't be some 46, some 57, and some 59%. I find it unusual that the city would be paying 59% for the different things they have.
Nilsson's proposal works out to a 40% increase in typical bills across the board, according to a city spreadsheet. However, that alone would not come close to meeting the water utility's revenue needs. In addition, Nilsson's proposal would also cancel out $270,000 that the fee-based utility owes to the city's tax-based general fund. Responding to previous criticism that such debt forgiveness was irresponsible, Nilsson listed off several examples of items the city had approved in the past year. He supported some, like subsidizing the cost of Mountain View Manor's assisted living facility. He suggested others were wasteful, such as conceptual designs for projects that were later shelved, or ball field improvements that have gone over budget.
So when I claim I'm irresponsible, I look at all the stuff here that's happened in the last year or so, and I say, well, there's a lot of wasted money there, too. I'm not sure that forgiving $260,000 is wasted money. Everybody in this town would benefit by it, whereas some of these things, only part of the people benefit.
Three members of the city's utility advisory board held a special meeting to consider Nilsson's proposal earlier this month, but opted to stick with their original recommendation. That was the ordinance that was up for a vote Monday night, and that was the plan developed by City Public Works Director Carl Hagerman.
When I start developing rates, I look at everything that goes in the utility in the next 5-10 years, which is operations, of course, projecting that out, sales, you got to project that out so we know how much we're selling, capital improvement plan, which includes the upgrades to the treatment plant, obviously, but it also includes other smaller projects to address water loss around the community, smaller projects, block-by-block water line replacements.
Hagerman told the council his plan also included developing operating and capital reserves for unexpected problems in the utility.
All these things came in and it gave me a revenue requirement over the next X number of years. And so I take that revenue requirement and I develop my rates to meet that revenue requirement. Councillor Nielsen's proposal, while it does get us a long way there, it doesn't fully meet the revenue requirements that I've got in my spreadsheets.
According to Hagerman's projections, Nilsson's proposal could meet the utility's needs with additional increases of 1 to 4% spread out through 2011. Hagerman also pointed out that though it seemed more complex, the original ordinance actually did increase rates by the same percentage for each customer class. That's 62% for service fees and 41% for the actual water charge for everyone. However, the total increases for typical monthly bills vary because of the substantial difference in the charges for different customer classes. The point did not sway Councillor Melinda Hofstede, who was still concerned that the original increase would broaden the disparity between industrial and residential rates.
We pay, as a residential user, 7.3 times more per gallon of water than the commercial users. And I've said this before, I'm fine with that, because they're very important to our economy. I'm not down on the processors. We're commercial fishermen. We need them. This whole town needs them. But for me, as far as going forward with the increases, I believe that these increases are because of Cabin Creek. We've got a big ratio between residential and commercial users, and I think for the increases, they should be equal. And I understand what Carl's saying about the average bill, But to me, it should be an equal increase.
But in terms of real dollars, at least for a residential customer, Councillor Mark Jensen didn't see much advantage in Nielsen's alternative over the proposal from Hagerman and the Utility Board called Option 10.
For my household, if we went with Option 10, the difference between Option 10 and Mr. Nielsen's Option 11 would cost me $57 a year. And that's not forgiving the debt. And that's building enough money to hopefully repair the leaky water lines. And if we could get to, say, cut half of our loss down to 10%, save that 10%, I think it would be worth it to to go with Option 10 and pay a little bit more and fix up the damaged water lines and maybe make the utility run into black.
Forgiving the utility's debt to the general fund also didn't sit well with Councillors Dan Hickman or Ed Sarf. The general fund is mainly supported through local taxes and pays for city services that do not have the revenue to support themselves, like police and fire, city administration, schools, and public works. Sarf was concerned about depleting the general fund's reserves. He reminded the council of this fall's election in which voters opposed an option that would have subsidized the water utility with additional city money.
The public voted down the idea of taking the money out of the Economic Development Fund. And the general fund is not just a slush fund that is a lot of extra money that we have kicking around. It's as important in its own way as the Economic Development Fund funds were. We need enough money to be able to operate with a certain amount of reserve on a continuous basis. We can't be just running scared all the time.
Councillor Dan Hickman also opposed debt forgiveness. Initially, Mayor Al Dwyer said he was leaning towards Option 10 as well, but he ultimately voted with Nielsen, Hofstedt, and Councillor John Haverlick in favor of the amendment, Nielsen's alternative proposal. Councillors Hickman, Sarf, and Jensen were opposed. The council will take up the amended ordinance in its third and final reading, January 7th. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.